From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and tonight is the night for the first live televised debate of this year's gubernatorial campaign. Incumbent Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker will face Republican State Senator Darren Bailey in a one-hour broadcast from the campus of Illinois State University in Bloomington Normal. It can be seen at 7 tonight on Nexstar Media Group stations in Illinois, including WGN-TV in Chicago, as well as stations in Moline, Rockford, Peoria, and Champaign. In addition, many public radio stations will be carrying the debate live or rebroadcasting it in the days to come. Joining us to preview tonight's debate and catch up on Illinois politics in general are two of my favorite political reporters. Amanda Vinicky is a correspondent with Chicago Tonight from PBS station WTTW. Amanda, how you doing?
I'm doing great. You're one of my favorites too, Brian.
Oh, and Brendan Moore is with us from Lee Enterprises, which publishes papers in the Quad Cities, Bloomington, Normal, Decatur, Mattoon, and St. Louis, among many other markets. Brendan, great to talk with you again as well.
Great to be here, Brian. I love being on your show.
Oh, very kind. All right, it's a love fest this morning. Let's see if it goes that way in tonight's debate as well. Listeners, you are welcome to join us at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or tweet us in real time at 21st Show. What are you looking to hear from the candidates tonight? Are you expecting any surprises? Will you even be watching? Be honest, did you even know there was a debate happening tonight? Let us know. We want to hear the range of your views. 800-222-9455. So, Brendan, set the scene. What are you expecting to be the top issues tonight going into this debate?
Well, Brent, I think that each candidate's going to come in with an idea of what they want to do. Governor Pritzker has kind of laid out what he expects to emphasize. He fired out a press release, his campaign did, about an hour ago, talking about abortion rights and saying that a woman from one of his ads is going to be in the audience. She spoke about her experience receiving an abortion and basically saying that Darren Bailey would be too extreme on that issue. And that's probably going to be the continued push from the governor to say that Darren Bailey, whether on abortion or on any other host of issues, is simply too extreme for Illinois. Whereas Senator Bailey is probably going to try and focus on the governor's record on the economy and on crime will also be another big factor. Obviously, the senator has really made a crime central to his campaign with the Safety Act. But I think that we're going to see there was a poll that came out last week that identified some of the top issues that, according to Illinois voters, that are on their minds. So would not be surprising to see both candidates try to address the economy. Obviously, like I said, abortion, especially Governor Pritzker, has made it very central to his advertising against Senator Bailey. And I think, and again, crime. I think crime has been a huge part of the narrative, not just because crime rates are up in certain parts of the state, but also because you have the Safety Act, a lot of provisions going into effect in January. That's on people's minds as well. So
and that has been one of the central messaging points from Republicans this year. Yeah, let me bring Amanda into the conversation now. What are you, you know, anything to add to that in terms of what you expect to be topics in the discussion this evening?
No, I mean, I think that there are topics that are front of mind for a lot of voters, and they're the obvious ones. I mean, the economy is always going to be at the top of voters' minds. Crime is something that we've been talking about that for a couple of years now. It's because of the Safety Act. It's because of rates of crime. Things that politics changes, right? I mean, had this debate been held a year and a half ago or so, it would have been all over COVID mitigations, which is how Darren Bailey really became a household name, particularly in downstate Illinois. I'm not sure that that has the same traction as it would have then. So at this point, those are the big things. I do think that this is an opportunity, and Darren Bailey knows it, where he's got that name recognition solidified in his neck of the woods. Where he doesn't so much is where I'm at in Chicago, despite the fact that he's been living in Chicago, apparently at the John Hancock building. I've never seen the condos or apartments there, just had, you know, a meal when I was like in high school at the Cheesecake Factory and taken a view up at the top where tourists go. But I think that Darren Bailey is at this point where he needs to satisfy his base. He's kind of done that, but he's going to want to continue, and he's not going, I don't think there's much that he could do that would cause those who are Bailey devotees to break from him. But his challenge has been to get traction in the suburbs and in the city of Chicago, and to make a name for himself, to get some attention, but not saying anything that is controversial and going to scare folks off who are more moderate Republicans or disaffected Democrats. It's something that has been sort of watching to see how he would do that the whole campaign. And you sort of have been able to notice him maneuver, I'm not going to say to the middle by any means. He's clearly more careful in some of his wording and backed off from, for example, a very close allegiance to Donald Trump that he embraced during the primary. Now he sort of equivocates when asked about the former president. And so that is his both, it is going to be a challenge for him. I'm not sure that he sees that as such. He is somebody who says, no, I'm not going to change who I am. But again, we've clearly seen him do a little bit of that. That calculated political maneuvering in order to try to get the votes that he knows that he needs, particularly in the suburbs, if he's going to make any go of this.
Interesting. All right, let me remind listeners, it's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're previewing tonight's gubernatorial debate. That's at 7 o'clock on TV on Nexstar Media Group stations. You can also hear it on a lot of public radio stations in Illinois. We're talking about this with Amanda Vinicky from Chicago Tonight on PBS station WTTW and Brendan Moore with Lee Enterprises newspapers, which are across Illinois and beyond, actually. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. Brendan, you know, I'm often interested watching campaigns work. This is the sort of behind the scenes of the debates, but they work to set a low bar for their candidates ahead of some of these things, right? Yes, well, Congressman Joey Bag of Donuts went to prestigious private schools and has a law degree, but we'll be lucky if he can string two sentences together. Are you seeing anything like that from the Pritzker or Bailey campaigns?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think that there hasn't, as you kind of open up with your show, Brian, there hasn't been a lot of attention with this debate. Obviously, this is not a presidential debate. It's not maybe top of mind for a lot of people. But I think that, honestly, this is probably more, if anything, more important for Governor Pritzker, because most polls show that he is winning this race. Most polls have him up double digits. So he's going to want to go into this not leaving any opportunity for Senator Bailey to gain or get any momentum. Doesn't want to make any gaffes. Whereas obviously Senator Bailey, I think just based on a lot of the news coverage of him over the past few months, the bar is probably a bit lower for him. It may be in a similar way to former President Trump, in some of the presidential debates, that, you know, the bar maybe was a little bit lower, just based on people's low expectations for his performance. So perhaps that may even provide an opportunity for Senator Bailey, if he can, you know, string together a decent performance and maybe prove to some voters who maybe haven't been able to see him necessarily in his own words, because he hasn't been on television since June, since he won the primary.
At all, so, right? That's an extraordinary thing right there. Maybe we should pause on that. He hasn't been on television at all, whereas Pritzker has been spending freely, as a billionaire would, I guess, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, Governor Pritzker has unlimited resources, has been on air, has been running ads in the Republican primary since even before the primary was over. Senator Bailey obviously had a lot of money from Richard Uihlein in the primary against Rural Mayor Richard Urban, but that, for the most part, has dried up since. And obviously, Illinois is a big state, big media market in Chicago. It's very expensive to run ads. And he hasn't had the resources to do that. And quite frankly, that has allowed Governor Pritzker to really set the rules of engagement for this campaign and set the narrative. And because quite frankly, most people that have seen Senator Bailey have seen him through advertisements portraying him in a negative light by the Pritzker campaign. So in that sense, could this debate be an opportunity for Senator Bailey to kind of rewrite the narrative a little bit, to maybe pivot for voters to see him, you know, in his own words without being necessarily being defined by Governor Pritzker? I think that might be his opportunity. It's a limited opportunity because, again, debates ultimately typically don't move voters that much, but it could impact news cycles, you know, could, you know, impact coverage. And so I think that that is his opportunity. When you don't have enough money to do paid media, you really have to lean into the earned media. And, you know, earned media from a good debate performance could mean it would mean more to Senator Bailey, I think, in this case than it would to Governor Pritzker.
Interesting. Amanda, what do you think about that? Earned media? There are only two televised debates this cycle. I don't know. What do you think about that? And the idea this is, I mean, these are Bailey's chances.
Let's touch a beat on that. I mean, there are only two, and that's something interesting as well that Pritzker really put out and said, these are the two debates that I'm going to do. I will say that I know actually a group of public media entities, including ours, Brian, had offered an invitation as well. There certainly was plenty of chances to do more debates than just two. This does get back to what Brendan was saying in terms of the leader in the polls wanting to not take any chances to make a gaffe that's going to ruin a campaign. And so that to me appears quite obvious in the fact that you have these two. That I believe the response that we got from the Pritzker campaign was, we can't make it on that date. And then you're like, well, any other date works. We've got about 6 months out. I think we can maybe find and arrange something. It is very clear that the Pritzker campaign did not want to participate in any more. Interesting that Bailey, I'm not sure how much traction it would have gotten, but didn't make a stink and tried to say, hey, I want to do more. I'll accept these forums. It's Pritzker who's afraid to go before me. Again, not sure how much traction that would have gotten, but in a time when you don't have money to play with, you do what you can. And that's not something that the Bailey campaign has really pushed. These are both two men who can hold their own. I mean, Bailey, unlike, for example, Pritzker's predecessor, the last Republican governor, Bruce Rauner, who was, I think you could sort of see he hadn't participated in debates like this, and he was new, particularly when his first run to Illinois government, and so could get maybe tripped up on some of the ins and outs of things, of details about how the legislature works or programs or such. Bailey doesn't have that. He's been a member of the General Assembly. So you're not going to have, I think, that sort of concentration. These are both two candidates who are generally quick on their feet and steadfast in their positions, although it gets back to what I had said originally. Bailey certainly not changing his position, no matter what polling says on issues such as abortion. I don't think he could if he tried because of just what is out there in terms of his record. But it's that slight pivot and watching how he will make a mark and at the same time not do anything that is a turnoff to moderate voters who just by means of numbers. I think this is something that when we have these conversations, particularly, you know, conservative supporters or those who favor Bailey say, hey, wait a second, don't count me out. It's not a matter of, you know, journalists ever taking a position or of one side or the other. It's just a numbers game. That's what elections are. And the voters that you need, the demographics of the state, the trends of partisanship and frankly, polarization, that's what we're talking.
That is what we're talking about. And, you know, reversion to the mean in Illinois, we need to take a break, I should add. But reversion to the mean in Illinois, the fact of the matter is, going back to 2016, whenever President Trump has been either on the ballot or a big factor in the election, Democrats have tended to win about 55-40 in Illinois. Of course, every election is a different election. We'll see what happens this year. We're going to continue our conversation with Amanda Vinicky of WTTW, Chicago Tonight, and Brendan Moore of Lee Enterprises Newspapers. We've been talking about the gubernatorial debate again, which is 7 p.m. tonight on Nexstar Media Group TV stations across Illinois, as well as many public radio stations. You can check your local listings for that. When we come back, we're going to catch up on a few other Illinois political happenings. And then later in the program, Illinois voters are being asked to decide whether to make labor organizing and collective bargaining a fundamental constitutional right in Illinois. We're going to take a deep dive into that question with a historian of the labor movement and a representative from an organization that suggests that unions have too much power. That's all coming up on the 21st show. Stay with us. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about politics. We began by previewing tonight's Illinois gubernatorial debate between incumbent Governor J.B. Pritzker, Republican nominee, and State Senator Darren Bailey. That's going to be on Nexstar Media Group stations and many public radio stations as well. We're talking about this with Amanda Vinicky from Chicago Tonight on PBS station WTTW in Chicago, and Brendan Moore with Lee Enterprises, which publishes papers in Bloomington, Normal, Decatur, Mattoon, the Quad Cities, and St. Louis, among other markets. 800-222-9455. If you want to join our conversation, 800-222-9455. I should also mention, maybe as sort of a inoculation against an email I can feel somebody might be writing already, which is like, this is a very superficial discussion. You're doing sort of theater of politics and not the policy. I will say, go back to our website, 21stshow.org. We interviewed Governor J.B. Pritzker earlier this week for more than a half hour on pretty, I think, substantive policy conversation there. And we've also have a similar request out to Republican nominee Darren Bailey. So, you know, we do try to cover the gamut. And if we only bring attention to this debate tonight because people didn't know it was happening, well, that's doing something right there as well. Let's move on to some other political topics, though. And Brendan, you've been reporting on congressional campaigns and which ones the national parties think are the most important this fall. What are you seeing there?
In Illinois, it's pretty clear that both parties view the 17th congressional district in Northwest Illinois. So that's the seat currently held by Congresswoman Sherry Bustos, a Democrat. She's retiring as the perhaps swingiest in the state. There's been a lot of outside spending by the DCCC and by PACs affiliated with House Republicans. You've got Esther Joy King, a Republican who ran against Bustos last time, came within 4 points of beating her, running against Eric Sorensen, who was a meteorologist in that market for several years. So that one's going to be close, and there's been a lot of spending in that district. A little bit less in some of the other ones that you would expect. So some Republicans thought they could make the 13th congressional district in Central Illinois, the one that kind of slithers from East St. Louis to Champaign, picks up a lot of the urban areas downstate to be competitive for Republicans. But there has not been a lot of spending on this race. It's kind of a little bit off the national radar. That's Nikki Budzinski, the Democrat running against Republican Regan Deering. And then up in Chicago, I mean, you have some races that Republicans maybe thought would have been competitive, especially in a wave year, especially with inflation being and the economy being the top issue. But I think we're seeing some movement away from that. I believe I saw earlier this week the Cook Political Report moved the 6th congressional district. It's represented by Sean Casten, a Democrat, from I believe lean Democrat to likely Democrat. So I think that the obviously the Democrats drew the map. The Springfield Democrats redistricting last year. They drew a decent map, and I think they're seeing the fruits of their labor this year. And that, you know, we don't have that many competitive races. We kind of know what the outcome is going to be in most of them.
I guess.
There's also it's in part some of the in not going to go race by race per se, but some of it is who was successful in the GOP primary. Again, you have a very motivated base that comes out for a primary, which is how you end up with somebody that is more conservative, like Darren Bailey, versus the quote unquote establishment candidate. Won't get into the sort of the failures of the campaign of Richard Urban, but nonetheless, certainly would have been a different discussion that we'd be having today about debates, about top issues, perhaps about spending and things, had there been a more moderate candidate that has seen the sort of success in Illinois in the past come out of the GOP primary. And that's perhaps in some of these races why you're not seeing as competitive a race as was once thought of. That, and I also think that it is surprising given how many of these districts are really in play central to who gets control of Congress, but also telling that you're not seeing the money in the sort of national attention that had once been predicted in terms of where those who are, where the political consultants believe are truly winnable districts at this point.
I suppose I should be responsible to my home station, Illinois Public Media and WILL-TV. We're going to be airing a debate in the 13th Congressional District this evening at 7 o'clock. So I will not be watching the gubernatorial debate live because I will be in a TV studio as part of a panel of reporters posing questions to Nikki Budzinski and Regan Deering this evening.
An equally important debate, for sure.
Okay.
Especially
because these are less known. These are both new people. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And I think, right. You do wonder, like, voters who are, how many voters really out there are tuning into Pritzker and Bailey and don't already have, like, preconceived notions about who the candidates are. I'm sure there are some. I don't know that those are necessarily the people who will be eager to spend an hour watching a debate, but, Let's get one more policy question in before we move on in the show. And Amanda, Republicans have been, you mentioned, we all talked about crime being a big political issue. Republicans are pushing that this fall. But beyond that, when it comes to actual policy, you recently reported there are likely to be some changes to those laws coming sooner than later.
Yeah, I mean, after the election, that is both, I think, for practical and political reasons, but there are going to be changes, and some of the architects of that plan are very forthright about that and say there have to be. And that is sort of one of the issues, I think, with the discourse at this point, and also something that has come up with folks that I speak with about it, is because of the election, the debates and comments around the Safety Act and this major criminal justice system overhaul has become really toxic, and both sides sort of leaning in and pointing fingers at the other when there are, per even those who, again, back the plan, voted for it, admit there have to be changes. And there will be changes, or they know they're up a river. Not to say that it's going to be easy to come to a consensus on those changes and even to get, by the way, a supermajority that will be needed for that to happen, take effect before January. And it's going to be on really Democrats to do that, because I don't think at this stage Republicans are going to be very prone to that cooperation, perhaps. So it's a major issue. We're seeing more state's attorneys, but by no means all, there are certainly state's attorneys that back this, but more state's attorneys file lawsuits seeking to repeal the law.
Amanda Vinicky, Brennan Moore, always great to talk politics with you. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us this morning on the 21st show.
Thank you, and good luck in tonight's debate.
Yeah, good luck, Brian. Thank you very much.